I don't know, it's really hard to remember because it was so long ago we asked all these questions. It's stuff like technology. Basically any kind of technology.
Okay. You haven't got any notes.
I have the notes. We're back. It's episode 23, probably. I don't know. Basically, we're recording load in advance, so probably won't have any news segments for a bit because we're going away. This is being recorded in the past, but I'm pretty sure it's 23.
They're all being recorded in the past.
Yeah, but way, way in the past. Not like the other day. This time, we are talking about the integration of technology into theme parks, which we asked about ages ago, and basically, we kept adding different episodes, so we never got around to doing it. But now we're doing it. And Harry has no idea what's going on.
Nope. Literally no idea.
So what we're talking about is, like, any kind of technology that a theme park uses to make it better. So, like, apps on your phone where it tells you, like, the map and the queue times. And then wearable tech like Disney uses with the bands they have. Yeah. And then stuff like VR, which is like actually on the rides.
Uh-huh.
And just which are bad and which are good.
Okay.
We've already like talked about VR on one of our like first episodes, didn't we?
We did quite a long time ago now.
Yeah. Is there any rides that have come out that have VR now that didn't back then?
Because
that was like a year ago.
There's not really been any major rides that have come out with VR, if I could think correctly.
There's the addition of VR to one of the Phantasialand places, isn't there?
Yeah, Temple of the Nighthawk.
Yeah.
Got VR, which is meant to be all right. Can Can Coaster has VR as well. I don't know if we spoke about that last time.
No, maybe we did briefly, but I think we said it was going to get it.
Yeah.
And it hadn't at that point.
Yeah, that one's got quite a weird VR system where you put the headset on before you even sit down.
Okay.
So you put your headset on in this room and it kind of gives you a virtual view of the room you're in, and it gives you a virtual view of the train.
Wait, like in the queue line?
Yeah. So there's a room before you board the train, you put your headsets on in there and it maps the room for you in your vision, and then you just get on the train with your headset on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that better though? Because you were saying like VR is bad in a way because it slows down the throughput of the ride.
Yeah. Kind of, but then also people faff about, you know, trying to feel where the train is.
Yeah.
So
how are you meant to walk with that going on?
Yeah, it must be quite difficult.
Yeah.
To get used to it. So yeah, it's got its own station as well, a separate VR station, which helps with the capacity of the normal ride, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a good one. It's quite a well thought out VR attraction.
Did they build that knowing it was going to be VR?
Yes, they built a second station for it.
Okay.
Specifically for VR.
See, I think that's the key to VR.
Yeah, pretty much. If you're going to have a VR, non-VR hybrid, then the best way to do it is to try and separate the two as much as you can.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what we've been on. We've only been on two, haven't we?
Two what?
VR coasters.
Well, Darren Brown's Ghost Train, Galactica. I've been on Shaman, Guardland. I did Alpine Express at Europa Park with VR.
Okay.
So, but things are moving swiftly, you know, things are changing very quickly. So the headsets are being updated. They started off with being like Samsung phones back in the 2016 days with Apple Express. Galactica had Samsung phones and then had discrete VR headsets.
Mm-hmm.
And now Crazy Bats at Phantasialand has a newer version of those discrete headsets as well.
Okay.
So it's a proper VR system, not a phone, but a dedicated VR system that self-runs.
What does DGBT have?
It has a Vive headset, which requires a massive computer to run it.
Okay, which is why it breaks down quite a lot.
Yes, but it's also why it's the best. It's much better VR than you'll find on roller coasters.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drastic step up.
Yeah. See, I would say VR works really well on something like DGBT.
Yeah, I think you have to build VR into the experience to begin with. If there's a purpose for it, then it works. If there's no real purpose and you just kind of slap it on afterwards, then it doesn't work as well. VR can be really good if you actually do incorporate it into the main gist of the ride.
Yeah. We asked you guys about different technology, and a load of people have said about VR because it's probably like the main thing that people think of.
Yeah, it's quite an obvious one.
Yeah. Immersive Meme says, VR technology needs to be the focus when creating an attraction within it, not an afterthought. This is where Galactica VR coasters fall down most of the time, but unique VR experiences such as Secrets of the Empire and the War of the Worlds VR experience work far better.
Yeah, so this is something that you can, something really to consider is VR experiences work well when you don't have to consider thousands of people a day.
Yeah.
If you're not building a VR attraction at a theme park, you don't have to have capacity in mind, and it makes it much easier to build a better ride.
So what's Secrets of the Empire?
No idea.
Okay, but the War of the Worlds VR experience is the one where you stand in a room and it looks like all the characters are there, right?
I've got no idea.
I've heard of this. I think it's something like that. So you kind of walk through with the VR on, I think, or something, I don't know. But it's basically, it's not a ride as such.
No, no, no. It's not at a theme park. It's its own discrete attraction.
Yeah, so that would be a lot easier.
Yeah, and this is it. When you have those discrete attractions, one, you don't have to follow the norms of your theme park because it's its own thing. It can be its own unique experience anyway.
Yeah.
It's self-contained. And then, yeah, two, you don't really have to consider throughput as much, which is obviously very helpful.
Dom says, VR is a fantastic thing in concept. On attractions where you're relatively stationary, like Dan Brown, it's great when it works.
Mm-hmm.
On actual roller coasters, you're simply moving too much for it to be enjoyable. It never stays in place and it's constantly broke.
Yeah, roller coasters aren't really as well built for VR. Unless you...
I would say there's too much stuff going on for it to be like worth it or like appreciated as much.
Mm.
Whereas with Darren Brown, like at some points, VR is literally the only thing you're concentrating on.
Yeah.
But on a ride, there's too much stuff happening for it to be like really good.
Yeah. Some rides do lend themselves better to VR coasters-wise than others.
Yeah.
You'll find that your smaller family scale rides often do better because there isn't as much going on.
Mm.
So you can kind of build more into a story aspect of it.
Yeah, they're less chaotic, so...
Yeah, exactly. Rides that are less chaotic lend themselves better to VR.
Yeah.
Like, Galactica isn't actually that bad of a VR coaster, because it isn't too crazy. It's quite floaty, you know, and gradual, which lends itself to that whole VR kind of feel.
Yeah. Lush Velvet Coaster says, I really enjoy VR personally, but I'm yet to see a park who's nailed it on a ride.
Well, yeah, this is it. It's new technology, so no park is going to nail it first time.
Yeah.
And it's still technology that's improving, which again makes it even harder to nail it first time because it's not quite there itself.
Yeah. Well, Kai says, I think technologies such as VR are just evolving too fast for theme parks. No park is going to constantly update the headsets to get the latest and greatest. Also, no headset is currently designed for all-day usage. Theme parks need reliable tech that is designed for all-day usage.
Yeah, this is it. Most of the headsets are just consumer-grade.
Yeah.
You know, meant to be used for an hour or so and then put down. There just isn't the specialised hardware that would work at a theme park.
Yeah.
You know, especially on the scale. Again, if you have a discrete attraction, you could just buy too many headsets and have a cycle of them. But if you're trying to deal with thousands of people an hour, then it's going to cost you a lot to try and be able to cycle through the headsets, yeah. You know.
Surely, like, one of the companies, like Intamin or something, need to, like, have their own department where they develop this stuff.
Mac is doing it.
Are they doing it?
Yeah.
So they're developing their own, like, VR technology?
Maybe not the headsets, but the experience. Okay. Or kind of not the headset, but other aspects of the technology.
Right.
All of the VR rides at Europa Park are made by Mac. Okay. In terms of they're developed by a discrete Mac company.
Right. This is what I reckon they need to do. Just make it specifically, like, all designed.
Well, yeah, this is
for this purpose.
You need to build a ride from the ground up that has specialised VR hardware.
Yeah.
That's the best way to build a VR attraction, for sure.
Joe says VR is ahead of its time, doesn't work well enough to be rolled out fully.
Yeah.
But then if you don't roll it out, you'll never know kind of, like, what's wrong with it.
it's kind of like parks are trying to be on the cutting edge of technology.
Yeah.
So
someone's got to be doing it badly.
Someone's going to do it first.
Yeah.
Which obviously doesn't always bode well, but then you get the whole "we did it first" thing. So
yeah,
it's all a game, and the parks are trying to play it, you know, offering different and unique experiences, but having to put up with the disappointing factors of VR.
The delay in the technology.
Yeah.
Joel says, "I thought the VR on Galactica was actually quite visually impressive. It just didn't always work to the best of its ability and killed the capacity."
Yeah.
"The VR is also excellent on DGBT. From the two rides I had on it, I thought it was really well executed. I think maybe the tech just needs to catch up." Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it. Galactica's VR isn't actually bad on the grand scheme of things.
No, I think if you sat down and just watched it, it would be fine. But I think because you're like on the ride as well and it moves very quickly, you can't take all of it in on the ride.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just something about it I don't really like. I'd rather just ride it without.
Yeah. No, you're definitely right though, Joel. It's it needs to catch up and improve the technology.
Yeah.
To become more reliable and to become better, just in terms of the graphics, but then also the size of your VR headset that you need to run a good quality image. You know, stuff like Darren Brown's Ghost Train that needs discrete computers, maybe one day that'll be in its own individual headset, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I think with VR, like, it gets a bad name because it's so early.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't really like it, but I feel like in the future it'll get better. So,
well, what the problem was really is people or companies or parks, they all jumped on the bandwagon and no one really developed anything that was particularly
quality.
Yeah. Everyone just rushed to it.
Yeah.
No one really thought, how can we make this a full experience? In terms of roller coasters, it wasn't really until Europa Park built Can-Can Coaster or modified it that they started to think about that. Mm. So most people don't like VR. One, because people don't like change. Two, because coaster enthusiasts are idiots, myself included. And three, I don't know. There is definitely some sort of... I feel like the VR hate train is like overdone. It's cool to hate VR even though it's not cool to hate VR, you know?
Yeah,
people just hate it for the sake of hating it. I don't think it's actually that bad, but a lot of people dislike it. I don't know. Let us know what you think in the, you know, tweet us your thoughts of VR and whether you've had good or bad experiences, because sometimes it is just about one bad experience that puts you off.
Yeah.
And with VR, it's never that stable. So one experience could be great, while another one could be complete garbage.
Also, I think it's like the thing of people want to like the pure ride.
Yeah.
And if it's got VR on it, it kind of feels like it's not a pure ride anymore.
Yeah, that's what you mean.
I don't know. All in good time. There's a load of other stuff people have been talking about as well.
Mm-hmm.
We use the apps that parks have all the time, don't we?
We do, mainly for queue times.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we didn't know the park, we'd use the app for the map, if it's good.
Yeah.
But for Altenhausen and Thorpe Park, we just use it for the queue times. And I think that's a really obvious thing for them to have done, like develop apps for parks.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, when you're in a ride, they have those games. Do you know what I mean?
What, the apps, the games for the ride?
Yeah. So you're like in the queue for a ride and there's an app where you can play a game.
What, like Crush's Coaster?
Yeah, and like Helix has one, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
And Five Mad Movie Makers has replied to us saying, "The phone app for Star Wars Galaxy Edge is really fun. Normally I don't like people looking at their phones the whole day, but the phone's missions are tied into the land and even activate different sounds or lights in the land when you complete tasks."
Yeah, this is it. It depends how integrated your app is. Things like Crush's Coaster, I think, are garbage.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Garbage.
So they're like just basic games where you... Does it even have a leaderboard or something?
No, it has nothing to do with the ride. It's all self-contained. Yeah.
It's Helix just a little a game.
Up. Yeah. Helix is a step up from that where it's a bit more integrated into the ride. It's still individual games, but in the queue line there's a leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
And every certain amount of time, whoever's at the top of the leaderboard gets a free fast track.
I love that idea, though.
So, yeah, it's a great idea because you're aiming to win something.
It stops you from being bored.
Exactly. It stops you from being bored, and there's a physical thing to gain. And then, as with Star Wars Land, you can trigger these events to happen within the land, like noises and all of that kind of thing, or actions or animatronics that move. Again, that's really cool because it's integrated into the land and you get something from using it.
Yeah.
If there's something to get or something to earn from using the app, then it's good in my opinion.
Mm. I don't think I've ever seen anybody, well, obviously we haven't been to Star Wars Land, but I've never had like experienced that, but I feel like I'd really like it.
Yeah, I think it's very cool.
Yeah. Another thing that's kind of similar to that is MSR for Life says, one type of technology that I think works really well is the use of RFID technology, whether it's through the use of interactive elements in the park, such as the ones at Universal being able to trigger events, or the tracking technology with magic bands at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Allowing for unique experiences within the park, such as, I've never heard of this before, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
You probably know this. The queue of Rock and Roller Coaster making fake music albums based on the names of the people in the line.
I didn't know that.
Because they can track where they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How cool is that?
It's cool, yeah.
That would be so funny. So I guess they have like a screen or something and they put like people's names up on the albums.
Mm-hmm.
That would be hilarious. Like, that's the kind of thing you need, like, just to make stuff like fun with technology instead of like being boring.
It should be there to solve a problem, whether the problem is making things easier or making things less boring.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but the ones at Universal are a cool thing as well.
What's that thing?
If you buy a wand in the Harry Potter section,
mm-hmm.
you can do certain movements with it and it will activate sounds or things to move or that kind of thing. So
that's
certain
so cool.
hand movements will cause things to happen.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Why is Alton Towers not doing this kind of stuff?
Well, usually it takes some sort of thing, physical thing to make it seem real. Like, I think the lightsabers at Star Wars Land can do things as well.
Right.
Don't quote me on that one. But there is no, for many parks, it would feel weird if they started selling
something.
These wands that did things. You know, there's no real reason.
Yeah.
Whereas when you have more IP-themed stuff, you can at least try and bake a reason in.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, having the app to do it instead would be cool.
Pete says, big bit of tech that seems to go unnoticed is at Alton Towers. He's not sure about other Merlin parks, but they use Bluetooth beacons dotted around the queue lines that talk to their app on your device to work out the queue times.
Oh, really?
I did not know about this.
No, that makes sense.
That does make sense, though, yeah.
Yeah, I know certain Disney parks will sometimes give a token or a slip to people in the queue, and then they'll time how long it takes them to get the queue. I'll go through the queue and then I'll collect the slip at the end and update it, that kind of thing.
Okay, that's really old school though.
Yeah, it is pretty old school. But having a beacon do it
is
very cool. It makes sense to use the people who have downloaded the apps to give better and more accurate queue times. It's actually quite interesting. I'm not really sure how every park deals with queue times.
Mm-hmm.
Like how they actually calculate them. Right. I think it might be different for each park, but I've got no idea how it works most of the time.
Well, I always thought it was like...
someone just looks out and
sees
how long it is.
Well, no,
roughly...
but because they have CCTV everywhere, I thought they had certain positions in the queue line where they know how long it is. So
someone
will just go on every half an hour and just look at all the queues and where the people are and just update it like that.
I think that is how it generally works.
Yeah. But the beacons thing is better because it's constantly updating.
Yeah.
And no one has to do anything to update it.
That's a much better idea, yeah.
Mm. Another thing people are talking about, which I've never experienced before, is virtual queue systems.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been in one, have we?
Technically, we have done it when Thorpe Park trialed that weird app thing. Can you remember? Thorpe Park trialed this fast track system where you would queue in the app. And then after a certain amount of time, say the queue for the swarm was 30 minutes, you could queue on the app 30 minutes. And after that, they'll give you a fast track.
Yeah.
To just go on it, right?
I remember that.
So what we used to do was get in the actual queue online, get on the ride, use the fast track as soon as we get off the ride to go on again.
Yeah.
So effectively, we doubled the amount of rides we got on things.
Yeah.
That
was really good though. I forgot about that. That was quite a while ago and we got on like so much stuff.
We got on loads, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah, parks operate virtual queue lines, which is pretty much the same system where there's an app or a little gadget you have that you click queue and then it will give you a countdown. And once you reach the end of that countdown, you can then go into the fast track lane and just get on the ride.
Okay. But with those, do they still have a normal queue?
Yeah, most of the time.
This is what confuses me, because why do they have a normal queue and a virtual queue? Surely that doubles the queue.
The virtual queue's mainly for people... Usually, the virtual queue is for people who have paid extra.
Okay, so it's basically fast track, but not...
Kind of. Most of the time, yeah. Sometimes parks operate virtual queues if the queues are really long.
Right.
Like, there was a VR coaster at SeaWorld Orlando that had a virtual queue, sometimes up to 5 hours.
Oh, my God.
But it was there because the queue was so long.
Yeah, you know? There's no point people standing there for that.
No. So it depends what kind of... What your reason for it is.
Mm. Somebody says, I think the future are virtual queue systems, especially free ones like in Universal Orlando.
Yeah.
So apparently there are some free ones.
Yeah, I think there was a ride. There's a ride about a talk show host, Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
That's his name, right?
Yeah.
I think that had a virtual queue line, or still does have a virtual queue line. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, I think it's the virtual queue line is a similar way to how the fast track at some Disneyland parks work, where you book in early and then you get a fast track. You get to skip the line, essentially. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. With the paper tickets.
Yeah, but it's all on the app instead.
Okay.
Because it says you select a return time or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense to have those systems they use, especially at Paris, with the little tickets you get to come back at a certain time. I don't know why they still do that and don't just have an app for that.
Yeah, it should all be an app, really, instead of having people to faff around with little tickets.
Exactly.
But it's what it is.
Because the machines often, like, break and, like, don't give you a ticket properly.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Yeah. We also asked people how they think technology is going to be used in the future, so stuff that we haven't even seen yet, right?
Right.
And we had one good idea, which I think would be hilarious. I've lost it.
Go on, then.
Hold on. Okay, it's from someone called Tony Santoro. I would like in the future seats like at the dungeons where bits of the seat stick out, but on a themed coaster.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
It's a nightmare.
So basically, I don't know if everyone's been in the dungeons. Don't do it. It's very scary. But they have these bits where there's a seat. So like everyone has to sit down on this massive seat. Well, everyone has their own seat, but they sit down and then the actor's talking to you and suddenly some spikes like stick in your back because they come out the seat. And apparently they have it in cinemas now as well, don't they?
Yeah.
4D cinemas where basically you can like watch a horror film and then all the seat like sticks into you and there's air blowing everywhere. So that... but on an actual coaster.
Sounds remarkably uncomfortable, unless you'd have to do it at like a point of the ride that wasn't particularly intense.
Or what you do is, in the pre-show, happens.
It would be a pre-show.
To make you jump, and then the ride starts.
Oh,
you know
right.
I mean?
You jump, and then it instantly like launches out.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
How scary would that be?
Yeah.
Because if you hadn't been on the ride before, you wouldn't expect it.
No. Yeah.
They should do it so that... it's released at random times.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So you can never learn when it's going to happen. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I guess, rides will start to become more interactive. And theme parks will start to become more interactive with technology. I mean, it's like the stuff we've seen at Star Wars where you can trigger things using the app. I think that's potentially the next step in trying to make theme parks more immersive.
Yeah. That stuff's really cool as well. Especially at a Disney park where everything's so themed already.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, and with, technology improving as well, I guess screen rides are getting better, usually. Mm. And there's just more flexible ways to kind of pull off certain things that you wouldn't have been able to pull off before.
Yeah, like Ratatouille with the big
screens
and the trackless system.
So who knows? Who knows where we'll be in however many years, but...
5 years, probably, the way things are going.
Yeah. If things do start to get more interactive, then it would be very, very good.
Yeah. We also did a poll for this episode. Did you see this at all? You probably did back when we did it.
Maybe back when we did it. I don't even know what the poll is.
So Which type of technology do you think currently works best in a theme park or on a ride?
Right, what are the options?
VR.
Yeah.
Wearable tech, so like Disney Magic Bands.
Yeah.
Which we haven't even talked about. Apps, so like maps and ride times, or all of them work well. What do you think won?
Well, not VR. People probably love the Disney Magic Bands. I don't know. Go on.
It was apps.
Yeah, well, the apps are the most useful, yeah. Really, by
That's
far.
That's true. So that had 62%. Wearable tech had
29%. Yeah.
VR had 5%, and all of them work had 4%.
Yeah.
So people do not like VR.
No, told you. I told you that I don't like VR.
Yep. It's trendy, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, the wearable tech we didn't really talk about, but that's like, I've never used one, but these Disney Magic Bands where you get one or you buy one and then basically all of your stuff's on there, like your ticket, your, is it your food money or?
Yeah, you can pay using it.
Yeah.
You could, I think it can automatically download your ride photos as well.
So all of your park information is on there.
Fast passes and all that kind of stuff, yeah. Just this one band that does pretty much everything.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it saves all the like paper tickets and
faff
codes and everything. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I guess we'll see.
We will.
We will. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter mainly, CBR Podcast, and we're on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, all the stuff.
If you have any ideas of stuff you'd like us to talk about, you know, don't hesitate to send them over on your platform of choice.
Yeah.
We're always looking for new ideas and new things to consider, especially unique things.
We also had a request to bring back the Coaster History series. So, I mean, let us know if you want that to happen because we can bring it back. It was very time consuming, which is why we never did the second one. But I mean, if people want it, we'll do it. So let us know.
There you go.